Here we are with Dan Carroll, the media relations guy for Dragon Con, getting ready a week ahead. And really, Dan, you've come out as, you know, the voice of Dragon Con over all the adventures of this past year. You know, you're the point man for it. How's everything going?
Everything's going amazing this year. We have everything ramped up, getting ready to go, getting ready to roll. We have folks packing up, ready to board planes, trains, and automobiles to come to Atlanta this weekend.
I saw a thing that came out. Was it just yesterday? You guys were talking about doing something there with the was it Atlanta Braves?
That's correct. This is our second year working with the Braves. This year we have a special ticket promotion for those people who purchase tickets through the Braves website using the DragonCon link. The portion of their proceeds are going to our DragonCon charities. And the best part about it is we're going to have a little parade in front with some of our finest cosplayers marching around the field. The first pitch will be thrown out by Liam McIntyre, who you might know from Spartacus. Mm-hmm. Lou Ferrigno will be on hand to cheer on the Braves. And Lucy Lawless will be standing up and shouting, "Play ball."
That should be a great time out there.
It is. And if you have not been, I know for a fact that you've got an amazing new baseball stadium out there in San Francisco. But out here in Atlanta, our stadium, which was built for the Olympics, is still state of the art. And it's a great, great stadium. Great place to watch a game.
And if I remember, there are actually shuttles that are leaving right from the Marriott to take folks over to that if they want to participate.
They are. People who are ticket holders can take the shuttles from the Marriott and head on over. And we're still looking for one or two costumers who can contact me directly who might want to be part of the parade.
As far as everything else is lining up, I talked to a couple of your track directors, and everybody seems excited, from the old vets to people who it's, you know, their first time through. And everyone seems really excited for the next for this year.
And it's across the board. The energy level is so high. Obviously, the new corporation, the removal of the asterisk from our name. Mm-hmm. So many changes going on with DragonCon. But most importantly, we're looking for the largest DragonCon ever. We're expecting 57,000 people to take up those 5 4-star hotels in Metro Atlanta. And the thing that we're really excited about is moving vending back to America's Mart. We had been there for a while in the past, and we had incorporated it back into the hotels. But we're moving it to the America's Mart, which is right across the street from Atlanta's Hyatt Regency, primarily because we have been able to add nearly 70 additional vendors.
Oh, wow. So that is a good – this almost, half again as large as what it was before.
Yeah, that's correct. Last year, I think we had 160, 165 vendors. Mm-hmm. This year, we're at 253.
Very nice. And with it being over there, is that actually still inside a convention area, or can regular public get to that zone?
It is going to be an area that you need a badge to get into, but it is convention space. It's oddly exhibition space for trade shows, so it's naturally set up for display and exhibition, and it works very smoothly. We have 3 floors over there, I believe. And for those who have been coming to DragonCon, you know that we've moved some amazing programming out to the Westin. Mm-hmm. Our alternate history track, the largest fan track we have, is over at the Westin. Stargate was still very, very popular, especially this year with Richard Dean Anderson coming. And we have the Weediverse track over there. So many of the tracks that people would be going to anyway are connected by a bridge or directly over to America's Mart.
Very cool. So I heard talking about things happening in the area. So the parade routes changed this year. What's that about?
Yes, it did. Well, you're familiar with the parade. And for those of you who have not seen it, we have 3,200 marchers with 80,000 spectators lining the streets of Atlanta. We are the largest parade in Atlanta. And we are not the largest parade in Georgia. But I should point out, the largest parade in Georgia is actually the second largest parade in the country. So we're still pretty large. And we have been doing this. This is our 12th year of having a parade, and we're reversing the course a little bit because Atlanta's stepping back into the future and adding a trolley line. Mm-hmm. So there's some construction in Atlanta. So for those, I will spare you the boredom of naming the streets that it's on. We're going the opposite way that we normally go, and we're taking a couple of zigs and zags along the way.
Very cool. Is it end up being any longer? I mean, more space for people to sit and to watch, or
we're looking at it being a little bit longer, not that much longer. But one of the things that's great about it is that we've added areas that have more room for viewing and more elevated room for viewing.
Oh, great. What was it? You were saying there's 56,000 or something you're expecting next weekend?
57,000 Labor Day weekend. 57,000. That's our estimate at this time.
For context, what was it last year to kind of get an idea as how much more this is going to be?
It was 52,000 last year. We have actually increased membership prices, and one of the reasons we do that is to control the population a little bit. As you know, sometimes it gets a little bit crowded, and we want to make sure that it's always a safe and inclusive and fun environment. And one of the ways we do that is by limiting convention space to the conventioneers, to DragonCon members, rather than just allowing the general public to roam through.
Sure. So actually, who are the big three charities this year?
They are Noah's Ark Animal Shelter. They are our largest vote winner in our competition this year for DragonCon charity. Mm-hmm. After that, we have the Georgia Conservancy coming in second. Amazing charity that goes out and buys land to make sure that green space is preserved in the state of Georgia. And third is a local charity, the Marcus Autism Foundation.
Oh, cool.
Does some amazing work with families.
Very cool. So what are you looking forward to this time besides, you know, getting to see everybody come back in and all the smiling faces? Are there particular, you know, do you get to actually get to any panels? Or are you too busy doing your own, you know, job throughout the week?
Well, first off, the thing that I really am most interested in and the most excited about is seeing my family come from across the country. You know, yourself, Mabe, coming from the Bay Area, just one of my favorite things every year. We've got other friends coming from Los Angeles, and we have some friends coming from England. They might be in Torchwood, but they're friends as far as I'm concerned. And we have a large number of folks coming from around the world, and that is really, really, really exciting. But I think that this year I'm doing something a little bit different, which is I am taking time to enjoy the convention in ways that I haven't done before, or at least not in a long time. As you know, this is a lot of fun at DragonCon, but I like to take the job seriously. I'm one of 1,800 volunteers at DragonCon. We are a volunteer-run organization. And sometimes we put in a little bit too much time. So this year, I'm doing some fun things. One of the things that I'm doing is – can I plug myself? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So I'm in a documentary that's in competition in the film festival. It is focused on erotic fan fiction, but most importantly about the role of fans – and exploring their own identities. I was not aware of what the topic was when I agreed to do the documentary, but it worked out very well. DragonCon is represented very well. When else am I ever going to get to say that I have film credits alongside of actors and actresses and producers from Stargate and Stargate Atlantis?
Mm-hmm.
So that's Saturday. Come on down. Try to make some time. We've got some other things we're doing that's different. For the first time ever, I'm getting to go to the DragonCon banquet, an award ceremony. Very excited about that. Normally everything at DragonCon is inclusive, with the exception of workshops and the banquet. I've never been able to have a night off to go to the banquet, so now I do. And the other thing is I'm moderating a panel.
Which panel are you doing?
It is Adrian Paul's Highlander panel, and it's pretty much a one-man show. Adrian Paul up there with me moderating from this podium, making sure that the guests are making sure that the members ask questions and mm-hmm. keep the conversation going. And I know it's going to be hard seeing the two of us up there on stage trying to figure out who's who.
No, that'll be fun. Do you happen to know when that one is?
I do. Sunday at 1 p.m. The time was just changed, so it's Sunday at 1 p.m. And also a little bit different, my boss is coming to see that panel. So I do work a real life job. So that's going to be fun. And I'm going to be enjoying some of the parties as I always do. I like to get out a couple nights during Dragon Con and relax. And this year I'm going to the Hero and Villains Ball.
Okay.
I'm going to the Rainbow Flag Party, celebrate our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And I'm also going to Last Party in Alderaan, and those are all on the same night.
Yeah, you're going to be up for a pub crawl by the time it's all said and done.
Well, in a way, Dragon Con can indeed be a giant pub crawl for many people. I mean, we've got lots of 1,650 mm-hmm. hours of actual programming. And there's topics for anything you can think about, anything from how to get a screenplay published to what is going on in the world of Disney's live action children's shows.
Actually, wanted to get back because I might have missed it. What's the name of the movie that you're in?
Oh, it's called Phenomenon, but it's spelled Fan.
Phenomenon. Got it.
Yes.
Awesome. That way you have a chance to look that up when I'm out there.
Please do. And that is also late afternoon on Saturday. So all I know right now.
Okay. You know, talking about activities with the fans. So what's the deal? What happened to my After Dark?
I don't know. All I know is that I was told it wasn't going to happen anymore. And I know that it had the last few years, and this is not necessarily official Dragon Con talking, but right. The last few years, never mind. Let me start the sentence over again.
No problem.
The part I already said, honestly, I don't know. I understand that it was removed from the schedule, and I've noticed that the last few years it had been in time slots where the sun had not yet gone down yet. A lot of people thought Dragon Con After Dark was just anything that happens at Dragon Con After Dark. And the truth is, it was a very specific, slightly risque costume competition, and it is not my understanding that it was taken off the schedule for any type of reason other than the people who were putting it on may not have wanted to do it anymore.
Huh. Might have to reach out and say, "Hey, we want to do this again in the future," because it actually did. It kicked off at 10 o'clock on usually it was Saturday nights, I think. Or Sunday night. It all blurs together in mine. But it's a fairly late start, and it always packed that room out, and people had a good old time. But, you know, the great collection. I like how you guys – I've heard from some of your track folks that going towards each of the tracks, having individual, like, little costume contests to kind of feature their people. This is specifically, like, out of the Whedonverse and those sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking forward to seeing all the amazing costuming that comes from that. And, like you said, you're lining up a panel. So your people on the puppetry track just – you know, everyone has so much energy and so much time, and how it all packs in. I've tried to explain to some friends because we have a great California contingent heading out to Dragon Con this year. That's really, in many cases, their first time ever coming to Dragon Con. And they're like, oh my God, it's overwhelming. I'm like, you know what? Everything that you plan, just kind of go with it, because you know you'll hit some of the stuff and other things you'll find so many things to look and see and do. You're going to sit down and look at the schedule and just cry because there's no way to do all of it.
No, and there's no way possibly to even see there's so much competing, amazing competition. It's not like there's a choice between two bad panels. There's a choice between seven great panels and 42 really good ones.
Yeah.
You know me, Bill. You know I'm a little bit of a workaholic at Dragon Con. I don't know if you're familiar with my friend Dr. Q, but he's always after me, telling me to relax and go enjoy myself. And that's true. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do this year. But the other thing about Dragon Con is I would always change what I did every year. So one year I would do only small panels.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, I would do only the giant panels. And by only, I mean 90% of what I did. There have been years where I haven't gone near the vendors areas, and there's other years that I was regretting it come Christmas time that I went near the vendors area. So that's it's just so amazing. And also, especially for you folks who have never been before and who are coming from the West Coast, get yourself some nap time during the day. I know it sounds goofy, but it's beneficial.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Especially for anybody who has morning sort of panels that they want to get to. Mm-hmm. Us West Coasters, we can go into the wee hours of the morning, like nobody's business, because it's 3 hours earlier for us. But when you got to turn around and try and get up at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, it's not that fun.
No, absolutely. When I lived in California, I loved coming back home because then I could stay up late without any issues. But man, heading the other way, it does not work the same way at night. And remember that a lot of what you're going to enjoy doing is going to be completely unscheduled, because you cannot schedule for just walking around staring at amazing costumes or bumping into somebody you didn't know before, finding out that person's your best friend that you haven't seen for a while or ever before, but now you're best friends.
Yeah. And, another thing to shout out to everybody is really, if you guys are using a little mobile app or using the program to kind of keep an eye on schedules, understand that things change. And really, the only time that the schedule is absolutely definitive is after it's happened. So, just kind of everything with a grain of salt, room changes happen, time slots happen, but keep on refreshing that app. And that app is a great little thing.
And please, remember the app. The reason we went to that was exactly for that updating that Bill was talking about. Bill, I remember working the help desk and having to memorize the Daily Dragon every morning, and even that was put out at 5:30 in the morning, and it wasn't up to date by the time somebody came by at noon, because rooms change, events change. I remember one year we had a 1960s television celebrity, and people were livid that he blew off his panel, and that is not at all what happened. The gentleman woke up with sciatica and could not get out of bed.
Right.
And nobody has, nobody has any type of magic. Things happen, so mm-hmm. We just got to run with it. We just got to go with it and know that's the way life is. But on the other hand, I mentioned earlier about the 1,800 volunteers. You talk to a lot of the directors. You talk to some of the new directors. These people have a passion for this event that comes through. And the volunteers have a passion for the event that comes through. And I love my brothers and sisters from around America, but there is no city like Atlanta when it comes to two things. And the first thing is getting something done. And the other thing is making sure that people are welcome. And that's two things that we're really proud about, is the volunteers who make this event happen. And the fact that we open Dragon Con and we open our arms and we practice a hospitality that you might not find at other conventions.
Now, I've got to compliment at that. No matter how crazy things have gotten over the years, and I'm sure everyone has their moments and times, but for all the volunteer staff that I've met over the past 4 years of going to Dragon Con, I have yet to have had a bad experience with them. I mean, they're sometimes tired and everything else, but they've got a smile on their face, they're working those lines, and it's a real tight crew.
And I'll tell you, the funny thing for me is there are volunteers that I have known for years who know exactly who I am. They open the door for me, and okay, that makes it sound really awful, but they help me out. They get me through places, and I may not know their name, and they may not even know mine. They just know I'm the smiling bald guy in a suit. And being in a suit at Dragon Con, legit Botany 500 suit, not a costume, kind of sets me apart in a way. So that helps. But it's the fact that we are family, and that's what Dragon Con is all about. And we we in the media relations department, myself and the folks who helped me get all your reporters and podcasters in, mm-hmm. We set up a mission statement today and this year. And the thing that really matters, as far as I'm concerned, is the statement that Dragon Con is family, and we are part of that family, and we are privileged to be able to represent it.
Awesome. Yeah, I was looking at my notes because, like I said, such a big event and so many things going on. Trying to look at the stuff just to, you know, kind of give people a heads up about. Did I see a note that you guys have moved the Autographed Alley back towards Marriott? I think.
You mean the Walk of Fame?
Walk of Fame, yeah.
Yes, the Walk of Fame has moved into the Marriott. It's a great location. They were there a few years ago, but we've moved into the bigger room this year. And in the bigger room, we will be able to have an additional 100 and no, I'm sorry. We have an additional 23 seats for celebrity. Okay. So we've expanded celebrity seats in the Walk of Fame by 2023 this year. And we are so excited about it. It's just amazing. And we haven't even talked about the guests.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is an amazing year. I can sit here and just read like a litany, like an old Catholic benediction of names. But we have almost the entire cast of Arrow. We have almost the entire cast of the amazing Torchwood. We have so many representatives from Deep Space Nine celebrating its 20th anniversary. Doctor Who celebrating its 50th anniversary. We have two doctors coming, Peter Davidson and Spencer McCoy returning. We have so many amazing things come. We have so many Cenobites coming, including Pinhead.
Awesome.
The other day I announced, as you know, I changed jobs. I made a joke about what type of person changes jobs a week before Dragon Con when he has the type of role I have. Mm-hmm. And one of the Cenobites congratulated me. Nick is just amazing, amazing guy. So we're very happy to have folks from Clive Barker's universe. But also really interesting, if you weren't aware of it, we're showing Clive Barker's Nightbreed : Cabal. And we're pretty excited about that at the convention this year. We have the sequel to 4 Days of Dragon Con premiering also at the convention this year. For those who've never seen 4 Days of Dragon Con, please look it up on the internet. You will love it and want to come to our event.
Now, we just watched that like last week or something like that, and really, really enjoyed it. A lot of, you know, fan documentaries are kind of, you know, hit or miss, or kind of the same recipe. You know, 4 Days of Dragon Con really hits the whole experience and comes across in a good way.
Oh, absolutely. And it did win the regional Emmy. If they had realized the reception they were going to get, they would have considered a national release for it. But Jack Walsh, the director-producer, is also director-producer of the new cosplay documentary that's also being premiered at Dragon Con.
No, looking forward to catching up with that. I'd spoken with him briefly. And, I mean, like I said, it's such a crossroads of talent, everything from brand-new fans and geeks just getting into going to conventions for the first time to old pros and talent and stars, and it's the great crossroads, talking with people at various conventions around the country, that really all roads lead to Dragon Con. Really, it's really you've got New York up in the Comic-Con up in the new Northeast for kind of that area. You've got Comic-Con for the big media push down there in the Hollywood area. Mm-hmm. but everyone comes here, and this is where they let their hair down and just really enjoy themselves.
Well, it's not my place to talk about other shows. Every convention has something to offer. But one thing I will say about Dragon Con is our staff likes to joke, our volunteers like to joke, that Dragon Con is the one place where from 10 o'clock in the morning until 7 at night, fans come in and flock to see celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And then from 8 p.m. until 3 in the morning, the celebrities turn around and come to watch the fans.
It's very true. It's very true.
And I'm not necessarily a big party guy. I do enjoy, like I said, I mentioned a few parties that I'm going to be enjoying this year. But, you know, a lot of my friends end up hanging out with actual celebrities I have buddies who dressed up. In fact, one of the members of my team last year dressed up as Archer characters and ended up going to dinner with the cast of Archer, or see, some of the cast of Archer.
I really think that after every year when we come back from Dragon Con, a lot of our friends get tired of hearing us start every conversation with the phrase, and this last time at Dragon Con, you know, insert story here. And because there's just no end of the things that happen. And we're looking forward to another great week next week out in Atlanta. So far, how's the weather looking? Last I had checked, it looked like it's really, you know, less hot than it was last year. It looks like it's looking good.
Well, we like to say the closer to September we start, the less hot it is. And that's a truism rather than science. Mm-hmm. But that's been my experience. I'm going to actually pull up the 10-day forecast while you and I are talking and see what we can do if we have any answers. And I should point out, in the 8 years that I've been going to Dragon Con, I've only seen one day of rain. And it was my first time ever. We have a – you may not be aware of this, but in Atlanta we have a cable news network called CNN. Mm-hmm. And the first time any Dragon Con represented – we can tell stories, right? Stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So the first time anybody from Dragon Con was invited on CNN, I was invited on with Frederica Whitfield. Mm-hmm. The only problem was that the football game was about to start and it had just rained. And the streets were steaming. And you're in San Francisco, and the temperature is always moderate out on the peninsula. But Atlanta is not moderate. Atlanta is a land of when things are 97 in the summer, we talk about how cool they are. But we also are not like Salinas. We are very, very, very moist and damp. And you could literally, after it rained, you could see the rain rising up the ground going back into the sky. So I had to walk through that, the residue of the rainstorm and get to the studio carrying my suit because my pants were splattered from the street. So that was the last time it rained. Now, we are looking, just to let everybody know, we are looking for mostly sunny temperatures in the 80s, according to the 10-day forecast for most of Dragon Con. That is more than we could ever hope for. That is nearly perfect. And Atlanta, again, for those people who are out in the West, well, I guess we have a national audience. But Atlanta is undergoing whatever the opposite of a drought is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what day straight it is, but I think we've had rain 90% of the last 60 days.
Really? And now you're looking at, let's see, it looks like you guys are going to be kind of damp on and off until Sunday, but then the rest of the week up through Dragon Con. So you've got perfect weather ordered for Dragon Con this year.
Absolutely. Temperature 85 degrees is so delightful, especially for costumers.
Oh, yeah. It sounds wonderful. I mean, last year, I think especially on Saturday, I about died because it was like 95 degrees and I think 4,000% humidity. And I was not doing well. But so this looks like such good, beautiful weather and a great time. And like you said, everyone's making their plans, packing their bags and getting ready to go to the airport next Wednesday.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I traditionally welcome the reporters and invite as many directors as possible to come meet at the Hyatt Regency for a little bit of a mixer. And then I take the reporters around for a tour, show them some of the things they might not be able to see. And then get to work the next morning, passing out badges and doing interviews and passing out more badges and doing more interviews. It's a lot of fun. I consider myself the luckiest guy in geekdom. I have a job where I get to just talk about the stuff I love anyway.
Yeah, I tell you what, we're looking forward to seeing you next Thursday.
We can't wait to see you.
Dan Carroll, Media Relations Director and Overlord for all things Dragon Con and the voice of Dragon Con. Thanks, Scott, for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for everything you do for Dragon Con.
Hey, Dragon Con or bust. See you in a week.